Hi, and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I am Mark.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nicola. Welcome back.
We may not be as exciting as last week. Last week had a lot of big news.
Yeah, last week is like the show that you want to do, but you can't because somebody else wanted to do it anyway, and now you're stuck with the show after that show, so that's what we get to do.
It's not so much stuck. You know, it's the same thing as when we have, like, the Build conference,
yeah.
And there's this everything that comes out, and then, like, 2 weeks after, it's like, well, you know,
we already told you all the cool
there
stuff.
There can't be any more announcements.
That's true.
Anyway. We do have maybe some cool t-shirts to talk about.
Yes, I actually just got my t-shirt from contributing to the EWP Community Toolkit, so I'm super excited. David just walked by my office like, here, you contributed, here's a shirt. And I'm like, oh, yay! So if you guys don't know, the EWP Community Toolkit is an open source toolkit that anybody can contribute to, and it's all about developing EWP applications, has awesome controls, some animation helpers, has some service helpers like for Facebook and Twitter, all kinds of cool stuff, and actually the community has contributed a lot to it, mostly developed by the community. And if you're one of those people, you get a free shirt. So if you do have something you want to contribute to the toolkit, do a pull request. We have somebody approve it from the community, and then you might get a shirt like this one. See, it says toolkit.
Got the logo and everything.
I got a sticker on it. See a sticker on my surface right there?
That's good. It's good.
Yeah, some swag right there for people developing. It's really cool.
And if you don't have time to develop, but you are developing UWP apps, then feel free to go and use the toolkit controls in your project. I'm sure
there's
a lot more people who will be using than contributing, but if you find there's just that one other feature you need in one of those controls, pull request, like you said, pull request and free t-shirt.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Cool.
Anyway, let's go to the story. So we had one announcement that was pretty big last week. That was pretty big, I gotta admit. That's the Microsoft Teams that was announced. It's essentially, if you have Office 365 already on your, you have Office 365 subscription in your business, you can get this for free. It's actually a way for people to communicate really easily in a team environment. You can, it's a really cool thing. You can put a lot of stuff in there, like integrate it with all the rest of your Office 365 tools, etc. So it's just a cool thing. I've started using it with my team, actually, and we're just getting to the edge of what's possible.
Yeah.
We're just getting into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a persistent chat-focused community thing, so it's fantastic for because a lot of times I'll have a conversation, I'll have an IM conversation with someone, and then we need someone else's opinion, and then you start by inviting them, and then repeating everything you just said. And so this is a great way to invite people into a persistent chat, keep going. There's tons of integrations with things. We're going to get to one of the special ones just next, but there's OneNotes for each channel, so you can have persistent OneNotes in there. You can link to Visual Studio here is kind of the next story we're going to talk about. And then everything you have that you already use in your Office 365 subscription. So Word, Docs, Excel documents can get to be like the center of that focus. I have a chat right next to it. So very cool.
That's right. You can have integrate with bots. So you can have the same thing. You can integrate with the bot framework Microsoft. You can have multiple bots integrated into this. So the Visual Studio Team Services is one of those bots. We can say, if you have a new bug, and it just prompts you as a new bug. It's one of your channels. It's really cool. Another cool thing in there is also you can do meetings. So right there, if you have a group of people, you can just start a meeting immediately.
There's just a button,
Yeah, you just start recording. It's really cool. It's a kind of integration of all the good things that we have in Office in one place.
Yeah, it does feel like kind of the glue between, you know, Skype services,
Office services.
Office services, everything else in between. I was trying to think of what it's Skype for Business. Thank you. I was trying to think of one of the many names it's been called over the years. And all those kind of things. So my team has been using it for quite some time now as well. Let me tell you, the Giphy support is amazing. The emojis and Giphy support in there. They have meme generators built into the tool. A lot of the non-business stuff is actually pretty fantastic.
It's all for fun.
It is.
Anyway, we also had a new announcement about Project Olympus. So for those that don't know, Project Olympus is a way to have open source cloud hardware out there in the world. So Microsoft is sharing the hardware architecture that we're using in our servers, for example, for Azure, et cetera, and we're sharing that with the community. So we can actually all collaborate on the same hardware so we can have a more easier way to work on open source hardware. It's kind of taking some of the learnings we have from working on open source software into the hardware world, which everyone's contributing. And we're sharing about 50% of the completed projects when we're hoping that the community can work with us to make it even better and get all the feedback.
And this is stuff that's had a ton of experience already being in data centers at scale. So there's a lot of learnings we already have, and that's a great foundation to build off of. Like you said, getting the community in at an early time to actually contribute and move along with this works out for everyone, because if you still need to have on-premises servers, You don't want to start from scratch. You want to have something to build off of. So it's a proven platform that you can all contribute to. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's some pretty cool architecture diagrams in there, I think. I'm not into all this stuff, but I mean, it just looks really cool.
I am a hardware hobbyist at best, so this stuff is like very top end for me.
Just looking at this is just super impressive. Anyway, next topic is all about the web. It's all about WebAssembly. And we have a great post by Lemon Zhu, who's actually talking about the progress we've done on implementing WebAssembly standards, or actually working on the WebAssembly standard with other vendors like Mozilla, Google, and Apple. And he's talking about the integration we've done into the Chakra Corp open source repo. So if you are, you know, interested in this, you can go and look at the Chakra Corp repo. He has also has a really cool stuff about how WebAssembly, how JavaScript code or C++ code gets translated to WebAssembly. You can see some of the cool things that they're working on right now.
Yeah, it's been a cross-company effort between Mozilla, Google, Apple, the WebAssembly community group, as you said, and really striking on performance on the web because, as we've seen, it's not going anywhere, and it's just going to become more pervasive. It is that almost single app layer that every device shares, so getting that to be more performant and future-proof, super important, seems like a really cool stuff. It still seems a little ways out, but very, very good to be into this now.
Yeah, apparently there's going to be a browser preview coming up soon, so I think everyone's waiting for that to give it a shot and try it out. Speaking of the web.
That little thing we used to call ASP.NET 5, that was just a year ago we were calling it that, because as Scott Hounselman says, 5 is greater than 4, so how do we call it that? Is now ASP.NET Core 1. And just as previously as new technologies came out, we will be having a, well, there is a free ASP.NET Core 1.0 training on the Microsoft Virtual Academy. So you can hear direct from Maria Nagaga and Scott Hanselman on all of the insides on how to get started and how to get in there. They say within 10 minutes you get up and running on Windows, Mac, and many flavors of Linux. That's something that was not the case prior to .NET Core and ASP.NET Core.
Yeah, with Visual Studio Code being released just last year, actually, and then I think we've had a lot of cool improvements, and we've released the .NET Core 1, and we have this. And Scott and Maria are doing a great job. They released the full day of their training for beginners, actually.
Right.
So, you know, if you're a beginner and or you've kind of forgotten and want to get back to it, they do a great job and going walking through the whole process of how to do this. And they promise they're going to have two more days. I think they said intermediate and then maybe advanced kind of version of this. So it's just pretty cool. So keep an eye out for the next versions and make sure you, I'm actually planning on watching this.
I probably will too. It's going to be for the better of my career knowledge. There's they also posted a collection of other free resources at asp.net/free-courses, which is a collection of kind of the best stuff they have found around the web.
Now, if PowerShell was a child, it would be a 10-year child
double digits
next week. Yeah, that's right. And its 10-year anniversary is on, it says, November 14th. So we're going to have an event right here on Channel 9. It's going to be a live event. We're going to have a full day of sessions of cool demos that you can do with PowerShell, integrating with Azure, even integrating with your Tesla cars. I think it's going to be a cool day, and I think it's great if you have some time, logging anytime on Channel 9 and just watch the sessions.
It's interesting cool when you see like how technology grows into things. So like they give examples of setting up Minecraft servers or integrating with your Teslas. And you're like, this is pure geek stuff, right? This is the only things that geeks will immediately take any technology and say, how can I work in my car? Or how can I make new worlds?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff, and I think it's going to be worth everybody watching it.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. Popular Science just released an article called The 7 Greatest Software Innovations of the Year. And we are honored to have two of them on that list.
Yeah, they do this every year, and I think Microsoft makes it almost every year.
We try, at least. Yeah. That's kind of what we want to do, allow everyone to achieve more. The first one is the Microsoft Skype Translator, which we've talked about previously. Yep. Actually, I think we talked about both of these previously.
You might actually be using it right now to understand us in your native language.
Right. So this allows real-time language communication inside of Skype. It's kind of the Star Trek Universal Communicator, science fiction made reality. It's pretty amazing. It's artificial intelligence based. So it's not just like taking word for word and just translating them over and creating like kind of garbage on the other end. It hears accents and slang and then gets better as it learns. So
I can't wait till we have it actually right here, like in Star
just
Trek.
Just in the ear.
Just in the ear, and it's just talk to anybody.
Implant it right in. I'm waiting for that.
Implant, that's a good way
what
to
do it. What was the second one we got?
The second was actually even better, I think, in my opinion. Yeah. It was a collaboration between University of Washington and Microsoft, where they were able to store about 200 megabytes of data into a DNA string, I guess. And this is actually a huge thing because the previous record was 20 megabytes. This is a tenfold increase in the amount that they could do this. And this is crazy. This is research we've done.
The fact that we can get to that level, because you know how, like, we're hitting hard limits on transistor sizes. Like Intel's talking about like how every couple of years they've been able to decrease the size, and they're hitting like actual physics limits. But encoding stuff in DNA, like between that and quantum physics, we're going to get down to just tiny little things that have worlds of power in them.
It's crazy. They say we can have the whole internet in maybe just a handful of a thing kind of thing. It's crazy.
What's funny is that we'll be that long and we'll still just have shoe boxes like they've been for the past 100 years. You know, some things advance, some things don't.
And we'll still have a bunch of websites that take 10 seconds to load. Anyway, picks of the week. Okay, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is setting up Project Infrared and adding full body motion tracking to HoloLens using a Kinect. It's a mouthful. But Project Infrared is a motion tracking system that uses Kinect and HoloLens to take movement from a user and makes it to translate an avatar. So kind of real-time mocap stuff where you can both be, the sensors follow you and then project that onto an avatar, and then you can see that avatar in 3D right in front of you. So driving stuff in real time, a lot of times, especially this is in movies and game studios, you will have the ability to kind of do stuff once, then do a render pass, and then see kind of a preview of it. And that doesn't allow you to really interact with things in real time. This is a slamming that all together in one giant process so you can do this.
And maybe one day we can see a whole animated movie done in real time, but real actors.
So at the World of Warcraft movie premiere, they actually had some of this where they had the actors who played the computer-generated characters next to them using a HoloLens to see like the characters next to them. First time they were get to see like themselves acting right next to them in their orc form. So we're not that far off. I mean, that was kind of just a tech demo.
It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be a day where Emma's gonna be wearing just one of these devices like HoloLens, and that's all we see, just animated worlds.
In our real world, though. That's the best part, is you don't have to leave the real world as is. As it gets better, we just get to put a layer on top that better informs you, better is at your fingertips for everything. So really cool. Check it out. They have videos that show you everything in there, and then how to set up your hardware if you have a Kinect for Windows, a Kinect 2 for Windows, and a HoloLens. There's a zip file.
You don't have to even think about it. Just do it.
Just go to your cupboard drawer with your hardware and your HoloLens, and just pull it out. It's time to use it.
There you go. Anyway, my pick of the week is a bit different this time. Can you ignore that? So the studio was released last week, and the video was super successful, a huge hit. Everyone's loving it. And I've been watching that video just because of the song. The song has been amazing. It's been one of those songs that's been stuck in my head. You know those songs.
Oh, absolutely.
It's always stuck in your head. You can't get it out of it. Exactly. And people have been asking for the song. And Panos actually tweeted out last week, or even a few days ago, of that the song is free for download. And there's a link to download Pure Imagination just that was done for that video. I think it's really cool, and people will really like this. I know I'm listening to this song almost every day, so it's a cool way. So definitely go download it if you like that song.
That when you call me. Well.
Don't set it as my wake-up tone.
No, not at all.
Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us for this week on Channel 9. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.